Everybody, Sam.
Hello. Hi, I'm Sam, alcoholic and a few other addictive substances. I've got a long time sober now on my second try, 29 years. And way back when I first sobered up, I had to stop because it was killing me. I was shaking and thinking strange thoughts, staying home in my apartment, rent overdue 3 months, my car in the garage broken, wouldn't move. And I'd been laid off from work 9 months earlier, and they gave me just enough money to go nuts for most of a year. And I was all alone in that apartment for a long time, and ended up with cheap vodka because I could walk to the store and get it and walk back. And that was the least expensive intoxicating substance I could get. And I started being drunk or hungover 20 hours a day or something like that, something close to it. And I started shaking really bad, thinking funny thoughts, feeling like there's two people inside my head, literally. One of them wanted to drink, and the other one didn't want to drink. That was wacko. So, I didn't know about AA. I thought they were a bunch of religious nuts. I hadn't heard much. So I walked to the doctor's office after getting an appointment. And he gave me a physical. And I had to promise to pay him for it. He was willing. Small office. And he said, "Oh, by the way, you should go to AA." And I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. Just a minute there, Doc. They're religious, and I've been agnostic since I departed from the Jehovah's Witnesses as a kid. They were wonderful people, still love them, but they got some ideas which are clearly mythological. He told me God was going to kill everybody that wasn't a Jehovah's Witness real soon, sometime in the next year. And I thought, maybe, maybe not. And I've been agnostic ever since. And the doc said, "Go ahead and go to the meeting. They'll accept you just fine at this religious meeting that was pretty close, walking distance." And it was kind of a long walk, so I called Alcoholics Anonymous Central Office in Santa Ana, about 10 miles from where I live. They sent out this guy named Leon the next day. And Leon knocked on my door in my cheap apartment, and we talked for a while, and he took me to meetings. And he came every day for, gosh, for most of a month. He was really good to me. He said, "I'm going to be your sponsor." And I already felt better because I'd stopped drinking the vodka. And the doctor gave me something to feel okay by suddenly quitting alcohol. And that was great. I was lucky. My ignorance kind of helped me along and made it less horrible than a lot of people have to go through. And that's kind of the story of my life is naive ignorance, isolation from the social aspects of life. And I'm still kind of that way, even though I'm old now, 76. And I got 29 years continuous sobriety on my second try. And everything was horrible, unbelievably bad on the day I quit drinking and drugging. And I was out of everything. And I was so screwed up physically, it was gonna kill me if I kept drinking that vodka. And I had a big old bottle I'd gotten from the cheap store. And once I sobered up immediately, a guy there at the first meeting offered me a job helping him clean carpets. So, wow, the next day I went and helped him clean carpets and got a little money. And it kept on and on. And my sponsor was a religious man, Leon. He's a good guy, really warm human being. And he was a little troubled by my being agnostic, nearly atheist, certainly secular. I'll say those three words so it sounds like I know what I'm talking about, but I don't believe in anything. Oh, magical, mythological. I understand why they exist. I mean, those ideas about a super being way up there in the sky is all they had couple thousand years ago. That was their best explanation, and it worked. And for some of my family members that are still alive, a few of them, and most of them back then, it was an important part of their life. But their religion, the Jehovah's Witnesses, required that they not be pals with me. We could talk business, family business, but there couldn't be no just ch shooting the bull and chatting and doing things together. That was okay by me, I guess. At least that's what I thought it was at the time. Looking back on it now, I realize it was terrible for all of us, really. And I came from a family with seven kids, a stepfather, a mother, and deep religion. Three, was it 5 hours a week of Jehovah's Witness meetings? And I was lonely. I was the black sheep of the family. I asked questions that I was told not to ask, and that kind of sounds like I was smart, but actually I was pretty stupid, pretty ignorant, naive, childlike, really. Still am at age 76. And when I finally did sober up years later, it was as 41 or 2 when I finally sobered up for good. And I actually made a first try 6 months earlier, just after I got the sponsor and first time being sober. And I went to these meetings there in Dana Point in the harbor, and there were four or five really nice looking women about my age that were interesting. And I started going out with one of them, and it was really nice. She was sober too. And my sponsor said, don't do that. You're gonna go out. You won't be able to handle new sobriety and a new girlfriend. And I thought, what in the hell's the connection between those two? Why should one affect the other? And I'll be darned if he wasn't right. I mean, I was barely in that relationship a month when I went out on what I call powdered alcohol. Especially stupid because I'd gotten a job and gotten a little money. But finally, I came back and got some time, stayed completely sober, no booze, no drugs, no pot. And after about 3, 4, I can't remember exactly because it's all kind of vague, but after 3, 4 years of going to meetings pretty regular, 4 or 5 a week, and getting a job that was okay, getting my car fixed, getting caught up on rent. I met a girl at a meeting that I really liked, and she liked me. We got together and we dated and didn't go at it real heavy. But eventually, after 6 months, we moved in together, and it was nice. And then after a year, I asked her to marry me after her girlfriend gave me a little box that a ring goes in. And her girlfriend was another sober woman, and my girlfriend Judith wasn't there. And this lady gave me this little box, and she laughed and she says, "Put something in it for Judith." And she's saying, "Get married." And I hadn't thought of that. I was just going to live with her forever without being married. But then I realized that that's what normal people do. And I thought it'd be a lot of work, and it kind of was to be married. We did get married at the local city hall in front of a official of the county and two witnesses that were friends. And me and Judith were married, and we were together for 23 years before she passed away from asthma, which she was born with. And holy mackerel, that was the best part of my life by a huge margin. Everything started working, stuff that I'd never been good at before. People at work liked me, and I've got a really good job working with a whole bunch of super smart people. And working on atomic nuclear fusion, nothing less. I was a technician in electronics. So I was the dumbest guy in the company, but I learned a lot. Computers were in starting to be in heavy use then, and I began to learn a whole bunch more about my specialty, which was electronics. And they kept advancing me and paying me more. And I was there for about 20 years. And me and Judith bought a house, first time I ever bought a house. That was a gift of sobriety. I was able to pay for two new cars for both of us. She had an old Oldsmobile, and on the day we were going to trade it in for a new Honda Element for her, we were looking at her car in the driveway, and I looked at her and she was crying. She loved that old car. I thought, what in the hell is that? You know, but she'd had that car for a whole bunch of years. And she kind of laughed, but she had real tears in her eyes. She missed that old car. It was a friend of hers. And I think that's because she was such a good human being and cared about people and things a lot more than I did. And I picked up a lot of that from her. And I learned a lot about life and myself and her in those 23 years we were together. We were married for, I think, about 20 years. And that was a gift of sobriety. And you know, I like the 12 steps. They tell me what a healthy human acts like and thinks like. And they're in tight agreement with other sources of information on how to live a good life as a human. Psychologists and philosophers pretty much say the same thing, in my opinion, is what AA says about living a good life. And the 12 steps are wonderful, and I always think of them, but they didn't make me sober. They didn't by themselves improve their life. I had to actually apply them. And the way I applied them is I hung out with a bunch of sober people like you guys. Like Roger from Arkansas, or Arkansas, excuse me, and Jill and Dee, and I'm not sure about Mark. His hair is way too long, but yeah, and Mark's pretty cool. That's good. He's a good guy. And some of you other folks here, Holly, Wendy, Brad, you changed me. I found out why anthropologists say that socializing hundreds of thousands of years ago by human beings is what made us intelligent. No shit. That socializing and kindness and being together and working together and talking and listening, developing language, the scientists say that is what physically changed our brains to its current level. We got really smart, and it was because of all the social interaction. That was a surprise to me when I first heard that, but it's everything I've heard in AA agrees with that too. And I was reading recently a US government thing, and it says the average intelligence of kids in school on IQ tests is still going up, and it has been for a century. And I thought, holy shit, we're still evolving. And it says the average income of human beings is at an all-time high. There's little dips here and there. There's a little bit of noise in the curve, but it's an overall curve of going up. People are making more money and living better. And the number of people alive is at an all-time record high. Like, what is it, 8 billion or something? Huge number of humans. And even just as good, the statistics on lifespan of human beings is still going up right now. So in spite of all the shitty stuff that I get informed about over the internet, I don't even watch television anymore. It's just too crappy. But all the horror stories and bad news that spews over the internet is misleading to me. The real statistics, the real measurements of actual human behavior make it crystal clear that we're improving, we're getting better. And I think a major factor in that for me has been AA. So you people made me sober. I was hanging out with you guys. So thank you very much. And to prove that, I'm going to take back all that horrible shit I said about Mark and Roger. You're actually really good guys. Thank you for being here. That's enough of my story.